time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by the K-Band Savings Bank and Moynihan Lumber. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here. What's going on, everybody? We're a weekly show. If you just dropped by for the first time, thanks for tuning in. We are run by Moynihan Lumber, great sponsor. Always looking out for the student athletes of the Merrimack Valley. And Valley, we were looking, hoping for some kind of state title in the Valley, and we got it. Bill Ricca Hockey. Love it. They pulled off the great win. Haven't won since the 70s, and they got a state title victory over Canton, a battle in Division II. And Bill Ricca was number one seed most of the season and really finished the job. So we're actually going to save some interviews with Bill Ricca. We'll let them celebrate this week, and then they'll come on the North Shore. The Merrimack Valley Sports Desk next week, probably. So we're trying to lock up those Bill Ricca, some of the players, and maybe the coach again. We had him on last week, Jim Egan. So congrats to Bill Ricca Hockey, man. They beat Tewksbury. You know, no small feat there to get there and then finish the job against Canton, which is such a good team. So we're going to take a break and we're going to have kind of like a little Merrimack Valley / North Shore. We'll give you a little bonus content, Merrimack Valley people. Mukala Kabongo, he's out of Lynn and he's got his eyes on the basketball scene and he's covered everything. So he's going to give us his final assessment of a great Merrimack Valley season for basketball with talk about Central, Lowell, and go from there. But he'd give us a good scoop on that, and we will enjoy his session. And then after that, we'll just do a little own recap. So thanks for tuning in, Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. We'll see you after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we're back at it. Dom Nicastro here, Sports Desk Central. And when we call it Sports Desk and we don't put a label on the show, that means we have a cross-show interview going on. So we just say Sports Desk, so it fits nicely into the North Shore and Merrimack Valley, and a guy who fits in those areas very well because he's all over the place watching what happens all season in the high school sports scene. And now he's just finished up, and we're getting his thoughts. Is Mukala Kabongo a return guest? What's up, Mook?
What is going on, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. I love having you. You give us that nice, well-rounded perspective. You know, Lynn guy, but you keep it neutral. You keep it real. You know, you're all over the place.
And, I'm trying to expand my wings.
So let's start with the great news out of Lynn, and that is St. Mary's girls basketball is back on top. They win the state title against Norwell, right?
Yeah.
Were you at that one?
I was at all of them this weekend, man.
Nice. What'd you get? How was the Songa Center food up in? You must have ate from the concession stands there.
No. Somebody bought me some tenders and fries from there. Hey,
you had to get some kind of fuel, man.
It was all right, but I packed my own. I packed my own food. It was fruit and water for me. Oranges and water for me.
You're on the healthy track, just like me. I don't know if you've noticed, but since we last talked, I'm like 25, 30 down. I mean,
hey, man.
Kind of hurt you didn't say it, man.
Hey, we all trying to just stay healthy. Trying to keep ourselves healthy.
That's it. My doctor gave me some numbers and like, hey, man, stop eating. I'm like, that's an action item. I'll try. We're doing okay. But so this was, you know, last Friday at the Lowell Songa Center, right? St. Mary's in Norwell. And, you know, St. Mary's really cruised up until this point, you know, number one seed. But they had a little bit of a game against Norwell, no?
Yeah, Norwell gave them – it was a fight. Norwell gave them a fight. It was pretty close throughout until the Lady Spartans pulled away. They pulled away late in that game. But, yeah, it was a good start off to the weekend, a very good competitive basketball game. You know, Bella Owumi showed she was the best player on the floor that day. But other players on St. Mary's definitely made a major contribution. Senior Reese Matella, she had a really good game. Juliana Conte, I think she hit two or three-pointers in that game. And then, like, the unsung hero was freshman Charlotte Green. She came in. She made a big shot at the end of the third quarter. As time was expiring. And then she did a lot of the little things you want from a bench player to come in, grabbing rebounds, playing defense, hustling, pass deflections. She just did a lot of the little things in the 10 or 12 minutes that she was on the court. But it was very, very good contributions all around from a lot of players on that team. But yeah, it was good to watch. But yeah, Bella showed she was the best player on the floor during that game.
Yeah. Yeah, back on top again. They won it in 2023.
Yep.
So two out of three now.
Three out of four, actually.
Is it three out of four total? That's right.
Yeah, they're three out of four. And if you want to count, the COVID season too, you could count that one too.
Yeah.
Not if you want to count. It counts. So they will technically say that year. So
yeah, one, two, three, four.
That's like four out of five.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. Since 2020, that's all under Newhall, right?
Yeah, this is his sixth title as head coach.
Oh, man.
Right now, he's tied for second among active coaches. I think, one of the coaches, he got his seventh yesterday, the Cathedral coach. And then Coach Walsh, unfortunately, they weren't able to get the four-peat. But good things happening for St. Mary's, and here's the best part about that: they're only graduating two seniors.
Whew.
And I think next season they might have one or two seniors on the roster. So a lot of young players. You know, Bella's only a sophomore. They got a couple eighth graders that actually get some minutes in there, and then a couple freshmen that were contributors this season. So coach has a He's got a good thing rolling right now, and then, you know, everything changes during the season. But I mean, things change in the offseason, but, you know, as far as just like, you know, coaching aspect and getting the players prepared for the following season. So they got a good thing rolling right there.
Yeah, this is their decade for sure. I mean, girls basketball, the last one before 2020, it looks like was 2014. And then before that was 2011. So a couple last decade. You know, four already this decade. So,
and I believe one of the coaches, assistant coaches, was on that 2014 team. I believe.
Wow,
that just shows when you got a good foundation and you got a good program going on, the kids are going to want to come and play for you. And the best thing about Coach Newhall is you don't ever hear any controversy from him or any complaints about him from parents, because you know, in this world of high school sports, there's a lot of parents who complain about coaches and stuff like that, but you never hear from about coaches.
Especially, I think susceptible are the coaches who have success are are the ones who are open to the criticism a lot, because you get a lot of parents, you know, saying, geez, my kid should be part of it. They should be playing more. They'd be even
right
if you put my kid. So there's a lot of that. And it's just, you don't hear anything from those circles. And plus, Mukal, if you did, that complaint would have to elevate to Jeff Newhall, athletic director. So,
there you go. So they, even if they wanted to complain, they can't. They can't. He just, he could listen to him, but then he'd just be like, okay, whatever, Jim.
The gym is named after him, isn't it?
Or yes, it is. Yes, court. The court. The court's named after him, yep.
All right, so he's got a court so far. What does he need, like three more state titles for the whole gym and the whole school?
I mean, the way that school's going, they might build a new building just for him.
St. Newhall School.
Right, they might. Yeah, shoot. You know they were trying to buy that, the plaza that's across the street from there where, like, the store is.
Shaw's used to be there.
They were trying to buy it at one point. Couple years ago.
Don't get rid of Pizza Hut. That's like the one Pizza Hut in town, right?
I don't think Pizza Hut's there anymore.
Oh, it's not there anymore.
I think there was a shooting that happened over there.
Oh geez, I used to go to live in Swampscott for 13 years, so I used to hit up that plaza often.
That Pizza Hut was clutch, but I don't think it's there anymore.
Okay. But let's keep it in Lynn, because it was a pretty good, it was a pretty nice year for Lynn, and I'll start with, Lynn, Classical and St. Mary's boys played a game against each other, and St. Mary's handled them well in the tournament. But that was super cool to have two Lynn teams going at it in the tournament. That's rare.
Yeah. This is only, for me, since covering this, this is the second time I've seen two Lynn teams play in the state tournament. Back in like 2019, 2020, English and Classical actually played in the state tournament. I think they played in the first or second round.
Oh, that was on the way to two Lynn English state titles.
Yeah, this was their second one. Yeah, this was on their second run. They played together. And then I remember years back, I must have been in like middle school, Lynn Classical and Lynn Tech played in the North Finals at UMass Lowell back in like 2001.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. And that year in particular, actually all the boys programs in the city when we're up at Lowell for the North Finals. I think St. Mary's was up there. I think that was their first that was the first of the two going back to back.
Yeah.
And then Lynn English played Charlestown that year up there.
Well, great to see Classical playing St. Mary's in the tournament. And that usually doesn't happen because Classical is usually in a bigger division, upper division.
Yeah, they dropped a couple of years back. They dropped
to three, and now they get that potential matchup with St. Mary's. And St. Mary's wins that, but they fall short of where they wanted to be. I mean, they were the number one seed as well, right?
They were the number one seed. They had an 11-point lead against Old Rochester in that semifinals game. I wasn't there. I was in Worcester for another game. But from what I'm talking to people, it seemed like St. Mary's was in control that first half. And then the second half, Old Rochester, they just caught fire from beyond the 3-point line, and it just carried over for the whole second half, and it was like an 18-point swing or something like that.
And that's Coach Dave Brown over there at St. Mary's.
Yes,
forever, right?
Yeah, he's been. I think he got there like 2013. I think. I think he won at Winthrop in 2012. And I think he might have came in 2013 or the year after, but
That sounds about right. I was covering Hamilton Wynnum at one point, and they had Marcus Zagorowski as the point guard who went on to Creighton. I think I don't know if he's in G League now or something, but he was dynamic, and they had a great matchup with St. Mary's, and that was a great game. And I think Dave Brown was just in his early years at that point, like you said, but. Let's shift gears to the other region just to keep our MV listeners entertained with all this Lynn talk. Now, no state titles for Merrimack Valley in basketball, but certainly some fine seasons. And I guess you could start with Central Catholic boys making a Final Four. Did you get a look at them this year?
Boys and girls did a good job for Central.
Yeah,
Catholic.
Girls were like Elite Eight as well. Yeah.
It got to the Elite Eight. They lost a close one to the eventual champs, Wachusett. It was a close game. I think Wachusett won that one by three, but
yeah.
And watching Wachusett over the weekend, I'm like, yeah.
Well, 1 point win, yeah, I saw that.
they were just tough. On the boys' side, they're hell of a season. Coach Dunham's been there a couple times he could just never get over that hump to punch his ticket to the Final Four. They've been to like three of the last Elite Eights. And then this was his first time getting into that Final Four.
Yeah. Just so progress. Yeah.
Progress too. And the game against Franklin, it was close. It was tied going into the fourth quarter. And I think Franklin just went on a run. They just went on a run in the fourth quarter to give themselves some separation, and they were able to hold on. They definitely had a good season. They got good things to look forward to next season, because they could make another deep run next year. They got their all-star, you know, league MVP Javi Lopez coming back. He's going to be a senior. They got a freshman named Elkin Pena who did really well for them. They got a couple sophomores on the team, so. I mean, they're losing some good guys, some good players, but they got a good amount of experience coming back. So, and you know, you got a player of the year candidate coming back as well. Who, I mean, Javi Lopez, I wouldn't be surprised if he was on the Herald Dream Team this year.
Yeah,
the season that he had. So, Central Catholic boys, it was a good season though. It was a good season.
Yeah, and they had a Merrimack Valley Classic in the Elite Eight. You know, win over Lowell 49-45, and that was that must have been a raucous arena. I don't know. You didn't make that one though, right?
I didn't make it, but I was keeping up on the live stream. I was, you know, seeing the videos and photos. Yeah. It just, that environment is one of the best environments to watch a basketball game. If you ever have a chance to go to a playoff game, go to a Central Catholic playoff game, because it is packed. And man, that one against Lowell, it was standing room only type of ordeal. I mean, they had to rope off one of the baseline when people were standing and stuff like that. And that game kind of was like mirrored their first meeting. Yeah. Back and forth, lead change here, lead change there. I was kind of disappointed because I had Lowell actually. I thought Lowell was going to make a deep run. I had Lowell winning it all this year just because of what I saw from them.
Yeah,
you know, but that's part of March Madness. That's part of the tournament. Sometimes who you think is going to win doesn't happen. It's not because they're a bad team, or no, it's just there were so many good teams.
Yeah, 18-2 Lowell was going into the tournament. Central was 17-2, so two Titans just, you know, going at it in that Elite Eight, that 4-5 matchup, and you know. You said it earlier. I mean, Division I boys was kind of open with the departure, so to speak, of Worcester North. I mean, because they just tanked. They weren't good this year. They just lost everybody or whatever, and that opened it up. And Franklin, give them credit. They were number one seed, and they held serve.
They definitely held serve. It was a good matchup with New and North. But, yeah, if you just looked at all the teams that made that deep run, they all – you look at their schedule, they all played tough schedule. They all had tough non-league games. I mean, New and North, they went into Lawrence and defeated Central Catholic after in a game where they was down, I think, double digits at one point, and they mounted a comeback. Central Catholic, they had some tough games, you know, just in their league alone, playing against Lowell and stuff. So, and then Franklin had a good non-league schedule. They only lost to Xavierian. That was their only loss of the season. I think that was in a tournament. I was in one of those
end of the season tournaments.
Yeah, end of season tournaments. I believe they lost to Xavierian. So, hey man, Nugget too. I think coming into this game, Newton North had been undefeated in the state at this point. I don't think they lost a game to an in-state team this season yet until that point. So
okay.
Yeah, that made a good matchup because those two teams were kind of mirror images of each other.
Turns out Franklin is the Merrimack Valley killer because they also beat North Andover in an earlier round. And then they knocked off Central just by 8 in the Final Four. Defensive struggle game,
52-44. They used like an 8-0 run, I think. It was an 8-0 run they used in that game to kind of give themselves that cushion. So, good for Franklin. They announced this was their first state title in program history. which was shocking. But as I think back, they've gotten close three other times. Last year, they had a lead against Worcester North, and they, you know, it kind of vanished. 2018, they made it to the state finals game and lost. 2017, they made it to the state finals game and lost. So fourth time is a charm for the school.
All right. Well, I think that covers it for the Valley. What was exciting about basketball in the Valley this season? We'll obviously look forward to another heated.
A lot of great players in the Valley, too. A lot of great players in the Valley. Yeah. Even Methuen had a couple guys.
I was going to mention that. Yeah, certainly. They were up there, too.
They were up there. They had a good season. I think they lost to Attleboro. In the state tournament, I believe that's who they lost to.
Actually, it was Bridgewater-Raynham, it looks like.
Bridgewater and Raynham they lost to? Okay.
Yeah, 72-66 in the early rounds there. But I had Isaiah Andino, right? I think I had him on earlier in the season. He was great. And speaking of the Valley, Georgetown. You say, what? No, Georgetown's more like North Shore, Cape Ann League, but... there was an influx of not to say the Georgetown kids didn't contribute, obviously, but Georgetown wins its first state title, right, in basketball.
Yeah, and
they had some. That you can have Lawrence kids that can go to Georgetown, I guess.
Yeah, they're one of those schools. I think it's like school choice. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. You saw them, right? Front row seat of the state.
I saw them four times this year. I think I'm a good luck charm. They went 3-1. Every time I showed up, the one loss was to Malden Catholic, but even that game could have kind of damaged their confidence. But the way that game went, Coach Kilty and his staff, they did a really good job this season. And you know, you knock off the number two seed Bourne in the semifinals. Irvin Zapata, Joe Martoretto, Marcos Jones, those guys, they were really key in that win. And if you looked at Bourne and then you looked at Georgetown, you could see Bourne had the advantage on the inside. They had the two big guys. But when you watch that game, those big guys really didn't dominate as some people might have thought they would. They did have their moments, though. They did have their moments where they just went back to the basket and got their points. But the key thing was Georgetown didn't let them get any offensive rebounds. They limited them on the offensive rebounds. And then the three ball was going for Georgetown. They made a lot of wide open shots, and their defensive pressure. I mean, their defense won the game. I think they had just gotten a basket or so, or they had missed, or Bourne had got a defensive stop, and they had a chance to either tie or take the lead. And Georgetown's defense forced a turnover. And that forced them. They had to start fouling. So it was a good run for them. It was an impressive run. And then against Monument Mountain, who upset Burke. It was another coming down to the wire. It's 51-54 late in the game. On two or three different occasions, Monument Mountain they had a wide open three.
Mm.
The kid Manny Brown, it didn't hit the rim. He airballed it. They get a stop again, and they had another wide open three. Griffin McElroy, he misses, and you know they just got the stops. Georgetown got the stops they needed. It was literally down to the final seconds, and they got those stops. And then Brendan, I always mispronounce his last name, but Brendan, he made the point guard. He made some big free throws, and he also made one of the bigger plays of the game. After they got a stop, he just took it coast to coast before the defense could set and got a nice layup to give them some cushion. So that one was a really good basketball game.
Yeah, 61-54 and first title. I mean, just a great run. I mean, they had 98 and they had like in the 80s in the next game. Then their point totals went down as the competition got stiffer, but still found ways to win no matter what.
And you could look at their schedule too. That's another team they had this season. They played a really good schedule. They played some tough teams. They defeated Brookline at the Spartan Classic, which gave them a lot of confidence. But Coach Kilty, man, Coach, I don't know if you ever seen Coach Kilty coach, but He's very intense. The coach's box doesn't apply to him because he'd be at half court coaching during the game.
We're gonna have him on the show actually, this with you alongside you. So we'll see what kind of a guest he is. But
good guy too. And I didn't know his father passed away before the season started, I believe too. And asked him about that, and he was kind of like, "Yeah, this was kind of for his. This was for his dad." And it was a really good story. Really good story.
That is sweet, yeah. And as far as that Lawrence influx, you know, of kids, was like out of the starting five, how many kids were Lawrence kids?
I think total on the team they got 10 from Lawrence.
10 Lawrence kids, okay. Rest like 4 or 5 Georgetown kids or whatever.
I think so. I believe so.
Interesting.
It might not be 10, but from what I heard, it was like 10. I think they were all from this AAU program. I forget the name of the AU program, but they all played for this AU program.
Well, you got to get the job done. Yeah, you're right. It says Newburyport News, a total of 10 Lawrence athletes play on the Georgetown boys basketball.
Hey, man, if people got a problem with that, I don't mind.
Guess what? It's in the rules. If you legally are on the team, then who cares? I mean, it's just, you know, that's fair. To me.
And it's not one of those situations where kids are changing addresses to, you know, play for a certain city.
Right. Or something like that. Right. You're within the bounds of the rules. And, you know, if someone wants to complain about that, go lobby to the MIAA to change the rule.
I don't mind it. And also adds like diversity and stuff to the school anyways. Isn't Beverly one of those schools like a.
I'm not sure who's school choice, who's not, but I know Danvers. Back, you know, in like 2010, they won 3 out of 4 state titles with kids, and they were not all Danvers native. I know that.
Yeah, and I think Beverly as well, because I know Salem. Some kids from Salem, some go to Beverly High.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. So
I wonder if they actually go to the school itself, or are they like actual Lawrence High kids? No, probably go to Georgetown, right? Yeah, no.
No, they go to Georgetown.
Yeah. Because that would be against the rules. Yeah, obviously.
No, because there is in some areas, there is like if your school don't have like a program and stuff like that, you could go to a different school. But I don't think this was the case. I think this is one of those just like a school choice thing. So they're able to do it. And I don't think, you know, Georgetown's not too far from Lawrence too. So.
Yeah, right.
So it's not like they're driving 45 minutes or so like that.
Definitely in the neck of the woods, but. Well, also in the Valley, and I know you're not big on the hockey because basketball keeps you busy. So Ricca won a state championship. I think it was their first since the 70s. And in the Northeastern Conference, Winthrop won their first state championship since the 70s. So two very similar stories there. That's very cool.
Yeah, Joey Barrett from the Daily Item, my guy, he was covering that Winthrop game and stuff like that. He was trying to get me to go to a hockey game all year. I'm like, Joey, I can't. I can't do it. It's too cold in there. It's too cold in that rink for me. I can't do it.
Basketball is my comfort zone.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, congratulations to those teams. I heard it was a good game too, the Bill Ricca game.
Yeah, Canton. Canton's always in the mix there in Division II, and Bill Ricca kind of had one of those wow seasons. Like they weren't, you know, doing that in the past few seasons. They were very competitive, but they weren't like top four, and they just burst onto the scene and then finished the job. And like Bill Ricca, you know, hadn't won in all those years. And then you go to Winthrop, same story, hadn't won since the 70s. They both kind of won in the same years, I think, which is interesting. Bill Ricca back in the 70s. But like the big story for me with Winthrop was like, first of all, surprise. I had no idea they hadn't won since the 70s. They hadn't even been back to a state final since the 70s. But you think maybe it's because of the Arruzioni factor. You think like, okay, Winthrop, Arruzioni, yeah, they must have won a few state titles. Nope, not one.
You know what's so interesting about this weekend, right? Who was it? Pioneer Valley, I believe. They won their first state title in 71 years. I think they said 1954 was the last time they won.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there was a lot of there was a lot of history being made this weekend with teams winning for the first time in a long time or for the first time ever.
That's amazing. I love that. Maybe it's I wonder if we could credit that to you know, the new format, you know, cuz maybe there's a big monster in the Pioneer Valley region that they could never get past, or you know, now it opens up, but they got the statewide. And, you know, like, it's great because, like, Rockport and the North Shore boys basketball, they were like an Elite Eight team. And, you know, I think they probably wouldn't have made it out of the North. Like, there's always those stories.
How about the upset, Newburyport being upset? And
early,
early, a lot of folks thought they would have a deep run, but March Madness,
which is starting this week as we speak.
I think I like the statewide. I like this whole statewide thing. You know, there's some stuff I don't agree with, but I like it overall. But my thing, if I was like a Western Mass team, I would just be like, we gotta find a way to have the state title game in the middle.
I know. Like, Lowland, Boston,
like even or Worcester or something. Like, we gotta find a way to have it in the middle because they're traveling so much. Even like teams from the south, from the Cape, that they gotta make the it's still a long drive for those type of teams. Like some of the Eastern Mass teams, it's driving to Lowell isn't a problem for some teams, but
some teams,
I mean, took it, Hoosac Valley, they're all the way out there by Pittsfield and stuff.
Pittsfield,
like that,
yeah.
Also, Monument Mountain, they're also out in that area. So that's like a three-hour drive or so like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It definitely was an East Coast finals for sure. Lowell and Boston.
Right. I think the best venue I witnessed the state championship game was Holy Cross. That venue was, that gym was like picture perfect for a state title game. You know, not too big. You can fit a good amount of people there. The noise and everything, and it's like the crowd is right on top of you. So that, I think, if they could have a chance to bring it back over there, I wouldn't mind going out to Holy Cross for a state title game again. Because the one time I went there, it was great.
Yeah, awesome. Well, finally, that's a great coverage. Appreciate it very much, giving us the scoop on both regions over here. What is next for you? I think, do you go into hibernation and then we see you in the fall for football?
I'm going to go in hibernation. You'll see me pop up in some baseball games. I usually go to Lynn Classical Lynn English baseball games.
They got the field action.
Yeah, they got the tournament too that they have, like the end of season tournament with all the Lynn teams, I believe. They have. I usually check that out, but I'm chilling. I'm chilling. I'm relaxing. Yeah. If any basketball stuff pops up, then I'll go. We might be hosting another All-Star game this year.
All right.
Yeah, we might be doing that, but I need some me time.
Yep. Digest, take a breather, come back. But Mukala Kabongo, just follow him. At Mukala, MUKALA underscore K on Twitters, on X. So, hey, man, thanks again for the catch up. We appreciate it. And we will absolutely have you back on in the fall, probably. Unless you get some state title baseball action, we'll bring you back then.
We'll see. Unless we get some breaking news, too, and stuff like that. You know, so
it's like a Lynn coach to retire or something. Yeah.
Well, we got some job openings. The Lynn English job is open. So, you know, when they hire, that's going to be a good discussion.
Yeah, still, we'll digest it. Yeah, we'll break it down. Mukala style.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Have a good night, and we appreciate it. We'll talk to you in maybe soon or maybe in the fall. We'll see.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Talk soon.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street, in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, Mukala's in the books. Thank you to Mukala for that great catch-up on Merrimack Valley Sports and a little North Shore, too. Always fun to do that cross-show post. And we're just going to wrap it up real quick here. We have nothing much left to say. Thanks to Moynihan Lumber for being a great sponsor, keeping us going. And I love talking all things Valley. So stay with us because we're going to try next week to get the Billerica Boys hockey on the show to put the final stamp on their historic season. You know, almost 50 years there since they were at the top of the mountain in hockey. So great story out of Billerica. Looking forward to that. But thanks to Danny Martin, the producer. Paul Kelly runs the show. Rick Moore and the guys at msosports.com. We will see you next Thursday.